If you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, we'll get on to the message tonight, and you'll see, and if it doesn't work tonight, that's fine. We'll leave the video here so you all can see it if you'd like to watch it later. It's also online. You can go on our website and watch the video. A little bit about myself before I get into the message. My name is Phil Johnson. I grew up at Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin. That's home of Providence Baptist College. And since I was 3 months old, I've been at the church. And I went to the academy. I graduated there, went to college. And I knew that the Lord wanted me in the ministry. I didn't know really what it was going to be, though. And I had dreamed that I'd be able to work in, I love tech, I run the sound system at our church. Thank you, sound guys. It wasn't easy running sound before all this happened, but now you throw a live stream in there, and you never know, you don't really understand the stress that goes on with the tech guy. So I want to thank you guys. I know we never get praised, but thank you so much for all that. I love that kind of stuff. I always wanted to teach, but I never knew what the Lord wanted. So I went through college. Senior year of college, I knew Shannon for many years. They were part of our church now for probably about 15 years. But we started to talk, and we actually worked on the same bus route together. And I saw the heart that she had for the bus kids, for the Lord, and I had the same heart for that. I love the bus kids, and the Lord just knit us together. I graduated, and then she graduated a year after, and we got married that December after graduation. I wanted to go in the ministry, but our pastor said, wait about a year, and that's what we did. So we waited a year, and we waited 2 years, and we're waiting, okay, you know, we had our name out there, nothing came up, and different possibilities came up, and we're like, well, we'll let the Lord work. Come up probably about three and a half years ago, I got called into Brother Hall's office. He said, we have a position opening up here to be the tech guy at the college, and you'll also be teaching classes. I'm like, hey, I'm the tech guy, which I love to do. I wanted to teach classes. Oh, and you're also going to be doing the landscaping, which I've done for about 10 years as my job. That was my job all throughout college and after college before I came. And the Lord basically took everything that I like to do, everything that I did, and put it into my job there at the college, on top of many other things. Literally, it's a dream come true every day. I get to go do my dream job, what I want to do. We would talk about it before I started on staff. And said, oh, it'd be great if I could teach. I'd love to teach at a college, but I know I'll never teach at mine. And now I get to stay at my home church. I get to work there and help out. And it's such a blessing. We're going to get into the message tonight. Brother Pritchett said somewhere probably about 8:45, 9 o'clock is when you normally get done. So just, you know, blame him for that. If it goes long, you can blame him. I do know Brother Pritchett quite well. So if you want any stories, they're not going to be free. I'm going to make a little bit of money off of it, but the more money you give me, the better story that you'll get. So he was one of my first bus partners, and so I've known him for many, many years. My brothers grew up with him. Their mom was my writing teacher. We had in third grade. She would come in and would teach us how to write properly. And sorry, I do have sloppy handwriting, but it is not her fault. She was a very good teacher. But in turning into 2 Timothy, we're going to read a verse tonight. We'll jump straight into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And we're going to go on that thought tonight, a good soldier. Being a good soldier. Today we need good soldiers. We need soldiers. We have American soldiers. We have U.S. soldiers in the Army. And praise the Lord for all those that have fought previous, those that are current are soldiers. My family and my dad's dad was in the Army. He was in the Korean War. He actually went to the 38th parallel right between North Korea and South Korea. And he was overseas for about 9 months, in Korea for probably about 6 months. Fortunately, it was not an offensive time, or major offensive, to where there wasn't a lot going on. But he still was there and would never really talk about it. My mom's dad was in the Army and was a cook in the Army. He was there for 2 years, and he was dating my grandma at that time. And she said, you choose 2 more years of the Army or me. It's one or the other, not both. And he was smart, and he chose my grandma. And so he got out, but he was in the Army as well. And one of my cousins just joined the Army. So I appreciate the U.S. soldiers that we have that give us the freedom that we have today. If it wasn't for them, I don't know what this country would be.
Yeah.
But there's a different kind of soldier that we're going to go to tonight. And we should be thankful for our U.S. soldiers, but there's a Christian soldier. And I remember as a kid, I loved to dress up in camouflage, and I loved to see the different recruiters come up and they're like, hey, you look at, you're wearing camo, you should be in the Army. And I used to say as a little kid, I didn't quite know what I was saying, but I said, no, I am in the Army already. Oh, wait, what? You're only like 10 years old. No, I'm in the Army of the Lord. They're like, what? Wait, what? But just as a little kid, I was taught to make sure that we should be a soldier. So what are some areas that we need to be to be a good soldier? What are some things that we need to do? Let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity tonight to be able to preach. I pray that you use me. Please speak through me. I pray that something that is said will be a blessing to the church here. Thank you for so many that are able to be here downstairs live stream. I pray that through this message you'll work. And please be with this church. Please bless them for their kindness so far, their friendship over the years. I pray that you just use this message tonight, Lord. Amen. To get right into this, we're going to talk about three things that every good soldier needs to have, or every good soldier needs to do. First off, the first necessity to be a good soldier is we need to have a little bit of fight. Actually, we don't need just a little bit of fight. We need a lot of bit of fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Like, hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called. Fight the good fight of faith. As a soldier, we need to be willing to go into the fight. And let me tell you, there is a fight out there today. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. There is a fight. There's been a fight for all these years. And there's still going to continue to be a fight. And we need to realize that there's a fight out there. And not just realize it. We need to do something about it. Where's the Christian today? And I know there's many here. And you're here on a Wednesday night because you want to fight. That is why you're here tonight. You don't just come out. No, you don't just come on a Wednesday night just because, oh, there's nothing better to do. No, you come here because you want to hear from the Word of God. You want to hear, what does the Lord want me to do so that I can be a good Christian, so I can be a soldier? The Bible says in Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you unto you and exhort you that ye earnestly contend for the faith. We need to be able to fight. If we're going to be able to fight, we need to realize that there's an enemy out there. Let me tell you tonight, the enemy is not your pastor. The enemy is not your pastor. So many times we hear, you'll hear from this pulpit, and I hear from my pastor, and he's going to preach at us, and the first thing that we do is we get mad at him. Come on, that's not what I want to do. And the enemy turns till we start pointing to our pastor. Kids, the enemy is not your parents. So many times we fight with our parents, and you know what? We all fight, but it's not the right fight. Too often we fight against the wrong enemy, and that we think that's our parents. We think that it's our godly friends. We think that it's our teachers, those are where we're to fight. Sometimes we get confused, and we think that the ultimate fight is the world. Now, that's not the ultimate fight. The ultimate fight is the devil. And we need to realize that it's not the world that we're fighting against, because they're going to come out and they're going to yell at us and say, oh, you stinking Christians, what are you doing out there? But they're not the ones, they're not really fighting against us. They're fighting against the Lord. It's the devil that's fighting, and we need to realize that that's the true fight. There is an enemy out there, and he walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And he's out there today. And let me tell you, we need to have some Christians today, some Christian soldiers that are going to say, I am going to fight. And I'm going to fight. I'm going to realize who the enemy is. I'm not going to waste my time fighting my parents, fighting my pastor, fighting the staff members here, fighting different people, fighting my Sunday school teacher because I don't like what they're saying. We need to set aside today and say, you know what? We are going to fight the devil. He is the true enemy. I think of a story about a hunter. And if you know, if any of you have been to our college before, you know we have a few animals. Just a few. You actually can go online and you can see them. There's a tour. I counted in somewhere a little upwards of 280 different animals we have at the college, not including the two fish, the turtle, and seven salamanders. Those are living. The other ones are not living. They were very good today during lunch, what we had. We don't know. Sometimes we don't know if it's store-bought food or if it's what was hunted on the last expedition, but we do eat well at the college. But we have several different animals, and I'll tell you, it's really neat because you go to a zoo, you see on TV these massive animals, but you actually get to go to, and we have several lions. I think we have three or four lions at the college that were donated to us to put on display, and to see the massive animal. And when the Bible talks about that devil being the roaring lion, you look at him, and you look at that animal, and just the paws on it, and what destruction that it wreaks, and the havoc that it wreaks. And we get to see that, and we get to look at that every day, and sometimes we just go by and we just, you're like, oh, it's just animals, but every now and then I'll look at it, and I'll just be amazed by the different animals. But someone had to go hunt that. Someone knew what the target was, and one of the men that's that really a professional hunter. The guy's been hunting for over 40 years. He's been in Africa over 60 times on different safaris. He's donated probably half the animals to the college. But he talks about one of his first hunts that he went, the first safari that he went on was to go against the Cape buffalo. It's one of the big five in Africa, one of the five most deadliest animals. And that was the first animal in Africa that he goes on a safari. And he was going, and he went with a professional hunter, PH. They go, you don't go by yourself, okay? You're going to Africa. You're not going to be out in the jungle by yourself trying to hunt these big animals. But he has someone that knows exactly where you're supposed to go, knows what the animal's going to do. Then they'll have some other guides, so they'll have several people with him. He goes out on this hunt, and these aren't small animals. And I don't want to get into the details here, but they get up to about 5 feet tall, weighing between 1,100 and 1,900 pounds. Okay. The one he was going through that day was about 1,800 pounds. So one of the biggest of the buffalo that you'll find. They can run at about 30 miles an hour. That's a lot for almost a 2,000-pound animal to do that. Well, he's on this hunt. He's got the people with him. And he goes and he sees this animal about 90 yards away. About 7 to 10 seconds is all it takes for that animal to come between. That's the difference. It's just 7 to 10 seconds. That's all it is. He goes, gets his gun lined up, shoots first shot, hits it. They all start to cheer, but then the animal runs away. And now the hunt really begins. Because the hard part wasn't going and finding him. Now it's really finding him once he's injured. What happens with these animals, especially the buffalo, they'll be an adrenaline rush. Whenever they're scared or so they get hurt, a big surge of adrenaline will get into them, and they will be more ferocious at that point than they were before you actually shot them. So they go and they start to trail it. And he's thinking, this is his first time out there, and he's heard stories. People have died by buffaloes before. They've gotten, and there's one, there, a guy didn't die, but he went and he was hit by one up in the air, unconscious, laid on the ground. Fortunately, the buffalo actually stepped over it and just stood there for a while and left. The guy survived. But this is what he's thinking. He doesn't know where the animal is. They're looking, going through the brush, trying to find it. And they start walking. All of a sudden, they see the animal darts to the right. There's a quick 90-degree jog to the right. And that means two things. Either one, the animal's about to die, or two, the one that was hunted is now the hunter. And that's what was happening. The animal that was hunted is now the hunter. And now this is when it's very important to have a proper PH with you, have a proper professional hunter with you that knows the terrain. Now, no slam to those that had died before, the hunters, but I wouldn't want one of them to come with me. And there's been ones that they've misfired. They're there to help you, and their gun misfires, and they can't do it. That's not the PH I want with me. I want to have someone that knows what he's doing. He's checked everything out. He knows what the animal is thinking. He knows what the animal ate that morning for breakfast. That's the kind of hunter I want with me to be my guide, right? That's who you want. Well, as he's going, and he had a really good PH with him, he's walking through the woods, and all of a sudden through his peripheral, he sees this beast come charging at him. Quickly, he turns, gets a shot off. His PH gets one, and then he gets a second shot off. Three shots goes to it. Within 40 feet, the animal fell dead. 1 second. At full speed, which is what it was at, it would have taken one more second. If he didn't have the right guide with him, that could have been the end of them. All he had was 1 second. And you know what? The battle that we're in, that we're supposed to fight, we've got an enemy out there that the more we poke at him, the more we shoot at him and try to fight him, the more adrenaline he gets and the more that he wants to fight. But do you know what we have? Or what we could have, should I say, is the proper guide. We've got someone that's with us, that is with us all the time. If you're a Christian today, he is with you, and he's waiting to help you. Hey, Phil, watch out, down the road there, he's coming. But do I listen to him? He's there, we have a guy. Who's going to be our guide? So many times we've got music in our head, and we're doing different things that we don't even stop to think. He's right there with us. And he's yelling at us sometimes. Sometimes he's saying, stop. Sometimes he just keeps going trying to help us. But we're fighting in vain. And we get burnout. We wonder, I don't want to get burned out, so I'm just going to do less for Christ. Is that the answer? You know, working for Christ is not going to burn you out. What burns you out is working on your own, not with him. Because you can do it. God will give you the strength. He wants you to fight today. He wants you to be the Christian. But the Christian that gives up, that won't fight, is the one that does it on ourselves. I can do it. I don't need him. And we don't say that to God. We won't tell you, God, I don't need your help today. But what we'll do is we won't pray. Do we pray this morning and ask him to help us? Do we say, please, I'm going out into a world and the devil's going to be fighting. Please help me today. We're supposed to fight as Christians. We need to be the one. We need to be that good soldier. But we won't even talk to him. Right. Do we read his word? How are we going to fight this fight? How are we going to have the strength to keep on fighting? Well, we won't read his word and say, Lord, what should I do today? Well, I didn't get anything out of it today. Well, keep on reading it. Just because you don't get something out of it one day doesn't mean, oh, it doesn't work and I'm done with it. We need to have the Christian today that says, I'm going to fight. Next, we need to have the Christian that says, I'm going to finish. Too many people today are giving up way too early. We need to have the Christian that's going to finish. It says in Proverbs, for a just man falleth 7 times. Is that all it says? What happens? And riseth up again. The just man, he's not quitting. First time, what did he do? He got right back up. I made a mistake. I fell. Second time, I made it again, but I'm going to get back up. I'm not perfect. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. You think he gave up at that time? No. Seventh time. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I should just quit. Not a just man. We need soldiers today that are not just going to fight, but they're going to finish. And it doesn't mean my mom actually just retired from teaching 15 years at our academy. I don't call that quitting. That's what the Lord wants her to retire. And there's going to be times that different people need to move from ministries. But guess what she's still going to do? She's still going to be coming to church. She's still going to be going. She's going trying to pass out tracts. Maybe she can't go and knock doors for hours, but she's going to pass out tracts and pray for people. She's still going to fight. And you know, after 15 years, she's reaping. Our pastor calls it reaping your coupons, clipping coupons. I mean, after so many years, you get to start seeing the results. And I was talking to her today about this. I asked her, I want to know for sure how long it was. It was 15 years that she did. I said, you know, Mom, you've got a missionary in Brazil that you taught. You know, you've got another missionary that's about to go out on deputation to New Zealand that you taught. You've got an assistant pastor over in Indiana, Mom, that you taught when he was in third and fourth grade. And this is just to name a few, not only good laymen, different people that are different, all across the country. And this is just from third and fourth grade. And we're just talking a few years really out of college. Her first students are now just getting out of college and serving the Lord. I said, Mom, you're going to keep clipping coupons because you didn't quit. Not just now, but I get to teach some of them. Some of her students in third and fourth grade, I get to teach them at college. And I get to learn the influence that she was able to have on them over these 15 years, and they still remember her class because she didn't just try to teach them math, which is good, and reading, and English was good, but she tried to teach them life and try to teach them the Bible. And she wouldn't quit. And time after time, and in and out of the hospital and different things, and at a time she had to take a year away because she was. She was in the hospital several different times, thought she had a stroke, different things going on. She said, I'm not going to quit. And you know what? Just because she resigns and not able to teach, it doesn't mean she's going to quit and she's going to continue on. And she said, I'm still going to continue on. I'm still going to. When nursing homes open back up, she goes to nursing homes. She's seen two or three or four people saved within the past year at the nursing homes. Because she's like, you know, I can't knock on doors and walk upstairs, but I can go in from room to room and I can start giving them the gospel and witnessing to them. Because you don't quit. And what we need today is young people that are saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get out of high school and I'm done with this. I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish the fight that we have. It says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Unfortunately, you keep reading a few verses down. What is said after that? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He quit. Paul's talking there. Hey, I fought. I fought a good fight. I'm finishing my course. I'm still going, but... You know, to think about it, I got the so-and-so, Demas here, he forsook me. He didn't really forsook Paul, he forsook God is really what happened. And that's what happens when you quit. It's not failing your pastor, it's not failing your parents, it's not failing your grandparents or your Sunday school teacher. Ultimately, who we're failing is we're failing our commander-in-chief up in heaven. So we need soldiers tonight that are going to fight, that are going to finish, and are keep the faith. Not going to compromise. I think of Paul, and he talks here in 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and the day I had been in the deep. in journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I'm tired just reading this. He lived it. That's a mouthful to try to read there. You put yourself into it. You put yourself in just one of these, and we're going to cry and complain that we've got it too hard. But I see someone here. He fought, he finished, and he kept the faith. He wasn't willing to waver. After the first time he was shipwrecked at sea, okay, God, I'm done with this. I'm just going to compromise. And you know, it'd be just a little bit easier if we just compromised a little bit. I'll throw out the standards. You know, we can change the version of the Bible. We don't need that King James. And I know they didn't have it then. But that's what if he would have done that? What if he would have compromised? But I see here where he said he wasn't going to do that. We need today to keep the faith. We need soldiers that say, I'm not going to compromise. You know, it may be easier. Maybe we can get a few more people in church. But is that really what you want? It's not just about counting our pastor counting nickels and noses. That's what these rock and roll churches do, the compromising church. They just want to have so many people and bring the money in. As long as the money's coming in, we're doing good, and we're going to make you feel happy. But that's not what we need today. We need churches in America. We need churches here in Wisconsin and in Madison. And we need churches in Elgin, Illinois that are going to say, we're going to be a soldier, and we're not going to compromise. We are going to keep the faith. You know, it's enough for your pastor to say that, and I believe he is. And I praise the Lord for pastors now. I wouldn't want the pressure. You talk about that right here. He talks about it at the end. He likens all that he did that hurt his body physically. Then what did he say at the end? Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me, the care of all the churches. Talk about the stress of being a pastor. And it's great, and you have a pastor here that says, and he's going to fight and finish and keep the faith. But what does he need? He needs a church today that's going to say, you know what, pastor, I'm behind you. I'm going to get in that fight. Hey, I'm not saved today, pastor. I need to get saved. I need to get in. I can't get in the fight because I'm not even a Christian. And then he needs a young person. And it really doesn't matter what age you are, but especially this younger generation, my generation, we need to say, you know what? I'm getting in that fight. I'm not backing out. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be that soldier. And I'm going to finish. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep the faith. Where are you tonight? Are you in the fight? Well, if you're not in the fight, hey, I need to get in that fight. Sign me up. Enlist me today. I'm going to get in that fight. You are in that fight? Don't quit. Please don't quit. After 15 years, my mom's starting to see a lot that she's been able to do. And it took all these years, and she's seen it for a while, but now she's really seeing the impact that she had as just, and I'm not belittling it, just a teacher, just a third and fourth grade teacher. And that's not just. That's a big responsibility to do that. I'm saying that she wasn't the pastor. She wasn't the assistant pastor. She just taught. But it took all these years to see that. And there's going to be another 15 years, and I'll be able to say, wow, look at all these missionaries and pastors and different people and all the people that have been saved because you wouldn't quit. Don't quit tonight. If you're in that fight, don't quit. In another year, will you be here? Will you still be fighting? In 2 years, in 10 years, are you still going to be here and still going to be fighting? And are you going to keep the faith? Three necessities of being a good soldier. You need a fight. There's a fight out there. Know who your enemy is. No, it's not our pastor, our parents. It's the devil. Get into that fight. Don't finish. Don't quit on the Lord, and keep the faith. Don't compromise. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray that the message was a blessing. I pray that you use this church here in Wisconsin and Madison. I pray that through this time that they can be good soldiers. That we all can be good soldiers, Lord. And we just get to be here for a service. But I know there's been years and years of fighting going on and not quitting and not compromising. I pray that we continue that, Lord. I pray that ultimately we know that we're doing this for you. I pray that we can see people saved. Even through this time, people still can get saved. I pray that we don't give up on that fight, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.